We are in a series titled God at Work in the Wilderness, and we've been detailing the journey of the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and as they head towards the land that God promised them. But there was a whole lot of time in between that, and that's what we've been looking at in this series. What are the lessons that God sought to teach his people in the wilderness? And what are the lessons that we can learn in the midst of wilderness seasons for us as a church and in the midst of wilderness seasons for us as individuals? So what is it that we have looked at in this series so far? When there's a temptation for lack, we see provision in the wilderness. When there's a temptation for leading ourselves, we need God-given vision in the wilderness. When there's a temptation to do it alone, we need one another. When there's a temptation for bitterness, we need restoration in the wilderness, Elam. When there's a temptation for idols, we need to worship God alone. When there's a temptation for fear, we need faith in the wilderness. And when there's a temptation for disunity, Pastor Steve talked about last week, we need unity in the wilderness. And this morning, we're going to be looking at discernment. We need discernment in the wilderness. Pastor Steve will finish this series out next week on a message on entering into the promised land. So several years ago, I started looking for a church. I was at a church working in youth ministry back in Indianapolis, and I was at a point in seminary. I was talking with one of my professors, whom I valued his opinion, and he was telling me about how now was the point when I needed to start looking for the denomination that I wanted to be a part of. And he was involved in the EPC, and he knew that was where I wanted to be. And so he encouraged me that now was the time to begin looking for where I wanted to be. And so I started that process. I knew that I wanted to be at an EPC church. Youth ministry was my background. And I knew that I wanted to be at a place where I could kind of grow there. And so with those kind of three things in mind, I began searching. And you know what I found? There were several opportunities. And you know what's hard to know what to do? Is, okay, I feel like God is leading me. These are the three things, but then there's seemingly several options, with several of them good, and it can be difficult to discern the will of God. Maybe it's big decisions in your life, with job or schools, when to leave, when to stay, what to do, where to go. Discernment can be challenging. And in my case, you know, when I had just met Donnie here, discernment was really tricky. Then I met Steve and discernment became easier. And it was too late by the time I had met Marvin. But discernment can be difficult when we feel like maybe we have a big picture idea from God, but where God hasn't given us the specificities, the specifics. It can be difficult to discern, and that's what we're going to see this morning. In Exodus chapter 13, we see that the people came out of Egypt. Chapter 13, verse 17, Pharaoh let the people go. God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So they come out of Egypt. And we've talked about this in this series, that the direct path from Egypt to the promised land was 14 days if you take the direct route, which was straight through the Philistine country. And God said, I'm not going to take you that way. Because if you encounter this difficulty right away, you'll turn back. God led them on a path that wasn't the most effective way, but it was the best way. So here's the journey that they went on this map. See that they started in Egypt, and then they went down to Mount Sinai. And they, at Mount Sinai, this is where God made a covenant with them. This is where they received the Ten Commandments. And one of the things that I think is interesting that was pointed out to me this week is that it's in the wilderness. It was at Sinai that God makes his covenant with his people, that I will be your God, you will be my people. He reiterates the covenant that was made with Abraham before. And it's in the midst of the wilderness that God says, I am your God and you are my people. Oftentimes we might think, oh, I got to make it to the promised land first. But in the midst of the wilderness, God says, I am your God, you are my people. So they were at the Mount Sinai area, that region, for about a year, and then they go to Kadesh. God tells them to go, leads them out from Sinai, and they continue from that point, and they go to Kadesh Barnea, which is nearing the border of the promised land. They sent spies out, and the spies journeyed into the wilderness. We can see this. And they go through that area, the hill country. That's where Beersheba and Hormah are there. And they kind of explore all of Canaan. They go up and down it. And we looked at this passage the last 2 weeks where the spies explore the land. They report back that the land was good. It flowed with milk and honey. The fruit was lush, but there were strong people there. So the spies explore the land, and we looked at the last 2 weeks of what happens when the spies come back, right? 10 of the spies said, we can't take those people. We can't do it. And then God says that they will not enter the promised land until that generation passed away. The generation that witnessed the miracles along the way won't enter the promised land. At the end of the passage that we've looked at, Numbers 13 and 14, we've looked at the last couple weeks, it says this. So the 10 spies that spread the false report died, and then Moses reports that to the Israelites, and then the Israelites kind of have a change of mind. It's in then fear that they're like, okay, now we're ready to go into the promised land. We were wrong. And this is what it says in verse 44 of Numbers 14. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up to the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came down, attacked them, and beat them down all the way to Hormah. So if you throw up the last slide again of the spies' journey, they explored that land in the hill country, that north area, sort of following the path of the spies, but they got attacked and they got pushed back. And so now we're going to pick up in Numbers chapter 20. Passage Numbers 20, 14 through 21. See, before, in that passage we just looked at, they tried to circumvent what God had said. God said, you will not enter into the promised land this generation until this generation passes away. Then you will enter in. But they tried to immediately go in. And what happened? They got attacked. And it's interesting because the Israelites never again try to enter into the promised land in that direction, that way. And we'll see this here. Numbers chapter 20. Verse 14 through 21. So the people of God are in Kadesh, and they got to Kadesh about 2 years in, and then the restriction of you won't enter in for the number of years equal to the number of days that the spies were in the land. So 38 years have passed, and now they're ready to move forward into the promised land. They had tried to go north before into it that we just saw, and that didn't go well. So they try another route this time, a route through Edom. Verse 14 of Numbers chapter 20, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, "This is what your brother Israel says. You know about all the hardships that have come on us. Our ancestors went down into Egypt. We lived there many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our ancestors. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry, sent us an angel, and brought us out of Egypt. Now we are here at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your country. We will not go through any field or vineyard or drink any water from any well. We'll travel along the king's highway and not turn to the right or to the left until we pass through your territory." But Edom answered, "You may not pass through here. If you try, we will march out and attack you with the sword." The Israelites replied, "We will go along the main road, and if we or our livestock drink any of your water, we will pay for it. We only want to pass through on foot, nothing else." They're trying to reassure them. Again, they answered, "You may not pass through." Then Edom came out against them with a large and powerful army. Since Edom refused to let them go through their territory, Israel turned away from them. So in this passage, it says Moses sent messengers to them with this letter. "This is your brother Israel. This is what your brother Israel says." Your brother, so this is going back to Jacob and Esau in Genesis 32. So Esau's descendants were the people of Edom, the Edomites. Jacob's descendants were the Israelites. And so what the letter is, it's stating the relationship. And this is typical. This letter here that they're writing to the king of Edom follows a pattern of the ancient Near East for letters of diplomacy. And typically at the beginning of that, you state your relationship. In this case, "Hey, we're brothers from way back." Then it states kind of the history here, and Israel recounts their time in Egypt, how they were mistreated. And then the request that they want to go pass through the land of Edom, just pass through, right? They make it clear and they try to reassure, "We're just passing through. We don't mean any harm to you. We'll pay you if we drink any water. We're not gonna." And Edom says no. And it's interesting, they need discernment. Should we go or should we not? And what makes it tricky is that in Deuteronomy chapter 2, later we find out that God had told them, "You will now pass through the land of Edom, but don't lead them," or don't cause them to, he says, "They're gonna be scared of you. Don't cause them to attack you, don't bring out war." And so Israel is told by God, "You are going to pass through Edom. Don't bring about war." They go to Edom. They say, "Hey, we're going to pass through. That cool?" They're like, "Absolutely not. Wait, what do we do? God said we're going to pass through Edom. He said this is the way that we are going to get to the promised land, is through Edom." But then they go and Edom says no. They come out with their army. They say, "Come on, try to pass through." So the Israelites had to discern, where is God leading us? And maybe the question is, how are we to pass through Edom? See, God said you will pass through Edom, and they tried to do that. They tried to pass through the mountainous journey, and that was unsuccessful. They tried to go through the heart of Edom. Edom said no, so they had to go a different route. And we'll see this new route that they take. So when the orange route is where they kind of try to go through Edom and pass through the heart of it. And that's where Edom says, "No, you may not pass through." So they have to try to go a different way, kind of skirting around Edom, kind of going on the back side of Edom, not through the heart of their territory. See, Edom said, or God said, you will pass through Edom, and they tried to do that. But there were multiple ways that they could have gone through Edom, but they didn't have the specifics of how God was going to lead them through that. When there's multiple valid options in a situation, oftentimes it can be hard to discern. It's far more difficult to discern. They tried multiple times to pass through the heart of Edom, and discernment was difficult. Discernment, when God says one thing and you want to do another, is easy. God, right? But discernment, knowing the right decision to make, is difficult when God hasn't told us everything. Or when we have part of the picture, right? Like the Israelites, you're going to pass through Edom. But they didn't have the specifics of where they were to enter into Edom, where they were going to walk through in Edom. So they had to discern, how is God leading us through? God said this, so it's going to be true. We're going to pass through Edom. But how is God going to lead us in this? If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at another passage where we see discernment, the need for discernment. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Says this. This is Paul. He was an early Christian missionary. And he had three missionary journeys to just areas kind of all around Asia, Europe. And this is his second missionary journey. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region, Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, God had a plan for Paul. And what God's plan for Paul was is that Paul's life mission, if you will, was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That he was to bring in the people who were not Jewish, bring them into the family of God, preach the gospel to them, and that led Paul on these various missionary journeys. And here, the first missionary journey that Paul went on was kind of smaller in geographic size. And now on his second one, he's going a little bit further. He's going into areas that he hasn't been to before. And it says that they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them in. It's interesting because they were living out the calling that God had put on them. But as they went, they had to discern. As they were going, they had to continually discern, how is God leading us? It says Jesus did not allow them into Bithynia. And so if you look at a map, they try to go to Bithynia, and it says we don't know how the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them in, how that came to them. But then they went down to Troas, which is kind of over here, a map, and then it's there that Paul has a dream. And then they discern, I guess God is leading us to Macedonia. Macedonia is then on the other side of the water, and Paul spends a significant amount of time in the future of his ministry in Macedonia and in other regions on that side of the water that he had not been to before. Jesus had a plan for Paul. But that plan was not clear before he started. That plan was made clear. The will of God was made clear as Paul went. As Paul lived the life that God was calling him to live, the will of God became clear. They continually discerned, where is God leading us? Continually, they sought to discern that. And the will of God became more and more clear as they went. And that's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us because we want the answers before we go. We want the answers at the very beginning. We want to know every step of the way. But here, we see that it's as they went, as they lived out the life that God was calling them to, the will of God became more and more clear. So we've been talking about this 3-year plan that we've come up with, right, for our church, the future of our church, that we'll share with you on the 20th. And I want you to know that I know sometimes it can be intimidating to hear something like that or like what's going on behind the scenes. I want you to know that we have a strategic team, and me and Steve were trying to count the hours that they have met, and like maybe 25 or more. Like, and that doesn't even count all of the hours that have been outside of that. Your session has been meeting extra meetings, have multiple additional called meetings, all for the sake of the future of Cornerstone. And I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that God is up to something incredibly special here. That God is doing something new with us, and that God will do things deeper in us as a church and through us in the world. I believe that. Question is, will we live into that? God is doing some amazing things in your hearts, in us as a church. Will we continue to live into that? Oh, may it be so. Let's do that. And as we go, as we seek out, this meeting on the 20th is not the end point. It's the beginning of us saying, hey, this is the beginning of our journey. But as we go, we're going to continue discerning along the way. Where is God leading us? Sometimes you have to go, and in the going you find, it's in trying to get to Bithynia that God will show us Macedonia. So that's how we're seeking to process the will of God and discern the will of God for us as a church. What about for us as individuals? How do we discern the will of God in our lives? How do we know where God is leading us, and how do we continue discerning along the way? I just want to point out 4 things that I think can be very helpful in seeking to discern the will of God when it's not always so easy, when he hasn't given us the full picture. How do we know what is God's plan for my life? First thing, the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, if your background is in finance and you are trying to discern where is God calling me to, like career-wise at this, and you're between an accountant and a bank robber, both having to do with finance, the decision becomes clear, right? Do not steal, right? The Word of God is our guide. And that's a silly example, but God will never call you to do something contrary to his word. His word is our guide. And even as we seek to discern maybe the specificities of his will for us, all the while, as we're seeking to discern that, we're seeking to live out who he calls us to be in his word, which the kind of people that he has called us to be is clear in his word. So as we discern, are we loving people as he calls us to love? Are we seeking to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we seeking to make and mature disciples? Are we seeking to grow in his word? as we discern, we seek to continually grow in living out his word. So the first is the word of God. The word of God is our basis. Second, what do we do when we're in a place where it's hard to discern? Get all the information and pray. Gather the information. Sometimes we can make really bad choices in our lives because we don't gather all of the information. We don't have all the information at hand, but once we do have all the information at hand, we pray. And what do we pray for? Wisdom, clarity, and the mind of Christ. Wisdom, that we would be wise in all of our decisions. Clarity, that the decision would become clear. And in that example of when I was trying to discern where God was leading me, that ultimately led me here to Cornerstone, some of the places that were towards the top of my list, it became clear further on that, oh, maybe we wouldn't be as good of a fit as we had initially thought. Clarity, we want clarity, and we want the mind of Christ. Third, don't make the decision alone. Bring other people in. Paul is on this missionary journey with Silas. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, it says they bring in Timothy. And then in verse 10, it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. This is one of the we sections in Acts, which Luke is the author, and so Luke is a part of that. So we have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke at the very least. They said, we concluded that God was calling us to Macedonia. In your decisions, bring other people in. Bring wise people in to pray for wisdom, clarity, and the mind of Christ, and to help you discern the will of God. And lastly, when you've done that, when you've sought his word, gathered the information and prayed, brought other people in, the last thing, and I hope that this is very freeing. The first time that I heard someone say this, it was very freeing to me. And hopefully it is for you. And it's this. The fourth thing is make a decision. Make a decision. And then continue looking for clues of God's leading. Make a decision. Sometimes we're so stuck in God, tell us everything, that we don't actually take that first step. We don't make a decision. But what if Paul would have done that? It was as Paul went, as Paul tried to get to Bithynia, Jesus said, nope, that's not what I have for you, but I have something different and better. I'm gonna send you to Macedonia. And they went there. And Paul saw enormous fruit in that region. We make a decision. But we make a decision and we're not so stuck in it. We continue seeking to discern the will of God as we go. And I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 28. It's a passage that might be familiar with some of you or a lot of you. It says this. In Matthew 28, verse 19. This is Jesus's towards the end, after he's been resurrected, before he ascends to heaven, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. It's interesting that he says, I'm with you always after he says, go and make disciples. And maybe as we seek to make disciples, as we seek to live out how he calls us to live, maybe it's then that we will realize more and more that Jesus is with us always. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the one that we look to. Lord, you are the one who is our guide. Lead us, Lord. Help us to continually discern, looking to you always. Lord, we pray for our church that we would discern your will for us more and more every single day. Lord, we pray for us as individuals. Lord, lead us to be your people. Help us live into the life that you call us to live more and more every day. Help us, Lord. Help us. We need you. We pray this in your name. Amen.